Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
On the hotline, we find Sean Gentile of The Athletic just talking about this report from Rob Rossi in The Athletic about a Sidney Crosby contract update, that things seem to be progressing well, steadily, perhaps even quickly towards a new deal. Sean, what's your understanding maybe of the specifics here? Is it a 3-year deal for sure whenever they get this thing done in your mind, or could they actually try to do something for a little bit longer?
Hold on a second. I'd like to revisit the point that Mark from Swissville brought up.
Yes, when
you were taking calls there.
Oh, he was. I didn't even know where he was from. We didn't even put a location. He was like from Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, or parts unknown there.
Did I just fill in the gap and assume he was from Swissville?
Yeah, I was going to say, that could have been just like you having an anti-Swissville bias or thinking that Swissville is full of deep thinkers.
I think what I think should happen is that they should have taken Tecolvi back in the day and played him at multiple positions at once like Bugs Bunny. That's what I would have tried.
Now, if he had been getting lit up as a pitcher, would the other team have had that conga line of players going around the little diamond like they would?
Yeah, he would have been getting lit up because he was pitching the ball and also trying to catch it behind the plate as well.
Were you aware of the guy who called me very early in my career with what he called a true revolutionary idea for baseball, which was the depending on the handedness of the batter, they ran a different direction out of the box?
Was that intern Dom at age 6 coming up with one of his...
It was an older guy who got very upset when I tried to pretend to take it seriously and then just broke down halfway through and said, I'm sorry, this is like the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Yeah, he was not happy because he thought he had a $1 million idea on his hands.
Yeah, he started to cry halfway through the call and said like he just got divorced or something. He was having a tough time.
Yes, yeah. Something like that. Probably at 3 a.m.
Crosby.
Yes.
What was the original
question?
No,
just, I mean, Rob's story had it at, 3 years most likely and probably around $10 million. Are you sensing about the same thing in terms of term and amount here?
I think that sounds about right, yeah. A big reason for that is because of the way they have to structure age 35 and above contracts in the league. So we don't need to get too far into it, but that
Can you give us the very Cliff's Notes version of that? Because I alluded to it, but I also did not want to get too far in the weeds.
It basically stops how far down they can drop the yearly salary from year to year. So it stops salary cap hits from getting driven down, artificially, basically. Like we kind of just saw it with Toronto. They signed Chris Tanev, who's 34, to a long-term deal. So he was just under the cutoff. And everyone kind of realizes that the last 2 years of that, they're going to play someone LTIR or something and have like a fake injury. Mm-hmm. It's just a way to drive down the cap hit. But once players hit 35, they're not allowed to do that anymore, because it's like the average salary can only drop by a certain amount of percentage each year, basically.
Sean Gentile of The Athletic joining us. We're talking about Sidney Crosby. One thing I noted when I was just reading Rob's story and kind of reading the way he framed everything and how Crosby and the GM, Kyle Dubas, and how FSG all view like this next phase of his career. And at no point did I get the sense that any of them is waving any kind of a white flag. Instead, it seems like there is genuine belief that they can and will build a contender around him. How realistic do you think that is?
Not particularly. I think they're on the verge of getting passed by a lot of teams in the Eastern Conference. Like, you know, the Ottawa Senators are probably better than them. There's a couple other teams out there. You know, are they better than Buffalo and Detroit? Like, yeah, I'd say so, but probably not by much. Those teams have more young talent, I think, also on the way and more long-term salary cap space. So that's where they are. Like, that's the class that they're in right now. You're talking about them with the Ottawas and the Buffaloes and maybe even a step behind Washington, because Washington, you know, yes, they made the playoffs kind of by fluke last season and sort of by process of elimination, but they also got a lot better over the summer. So for the next year or two, yeah, man, I think they're certainly in a holding pattern. It would be unreasonable to call them, you know, even a legit playoff contender. They're squint and you can see how it works out, but I don't think anybody with any larger understanding of the outlook of the league is going to pick them to make the playoffs regardless of what happens with Crosby.
We know Crosby's a very smart hockey guy in general, you know, smart dude, period, a very proud, competitive guy. Do you think it's reasonable if I were to say that his own ability to continue kind of like beating Father Time and being great into his late 30s is almost clouding his vision as to what's possible for the team around him, because he figures, hey, I'm still doing it. If I'm still playing this well, like, we can do this somehow, and that's just not realistic?
I think that's a good question. I think there's probably a little bit of that because, I mean, look, man, the dude's about to turn 37 years old, right? And that is, he's past the point really now where we've seen players, maybe not quite at this caliber, but pretty close to it, have fallen off dramatically. Right? Like, Joe Sakic was a great player. Or, you know, is a great example. MVP caliber player when he was, you know, 35, and then he had 36 and it was over. We saw it with Yzerman. We've seen it with, you know, top 10, top 15 players in recent history who they have it until the second they don't. And all of a sudden it's just, it's over in the blink of an eye. And he's already outpaced that. And I think part of that is, you know, because of how smart he is. Part of it is how dedicated to his training he is. Honestly, part of it's due to how healthy he's been, how physically healthy he's been really since the concussion saga. So I think he's outpaced some of his competitors already at this point, which I think, you know, of course you're going to be optimistic, right? Like, if you're 37, you're great when you're 36, you're going to assume that more is on the way next year. There's really no reason not to. But yeah, I think that probably plays a part. How could it not? The dude's already... He's already, you know, like I said, he's doing stuff that we haven't seen from elite players in his age bracket, really. So I can understand why he thinks that he could outkick it for another year or two or three or however long we're talking here.
Here's a little in the weeds part of this. We know he wants to play his whole career with Malkin and Letang, that means a lot to him. Obviously, being in Pittsburgh means a lot to him too, by all accounts. Like, you just kind of use context clues. Little nugget here, though. Malkin's deal's done after two more seasons, and then he presumably retires. It would be a shock if anything but that happened. But then Letang's no-movement clause becomes a little bit less rigid, and he actually has a list of 10 where he could approve a trade. Do you think that there would be motivation on the Penguins' part, especially not knowing how these next 2 years would go, to try to deal Letang as soon as they can actually, you know, feasibly do it?
It's a good question, and I think that... It kind of goes both ways, you know. What is Chris Letang thinking in 2 years, potentially? That's where the timeline lines up. Is after this coming season and then one more. Is if this like quasi soft rebuild, retool, whatever you want to call it, works out, we're gonna start seeing signs of it 2 years from now. And you can see what the Penguins are trying to do, right? They're trying to tread water, see what happens. Don't do anything crazy for the next 2 years. And then once, you know, they turn the page on Malkin and potentially Letang, that's when, you know, the next phase would kind of start with Crosby, you know, say 1 year into a 3 year extension.
Sean, last thing for you. I know that whenever we on the show do something that could be, I don't know, perceived as out there, just plain dumb, ridiculous, or whatever, you're always very quick to pounce and be interested in it. Your thoughts on last week's hot dog eating contest won by previous unknown T-Bird?
Where did T-Bird come from? Is it like you said parts unknown when it came to Mark the Collar? Is that where T-Bird's like?
T-Bird, I think he came from like a Grateful Dead show or something like that, or you know, some sort of music festival where there are certain things wafting through the air. I think that's probably where he emerged from.
I was just happy that Donnie finished strong. Honestly, it was a disappointing start for the lad, but he's right there. Right, he finished five, didn't he?
He would have been in second or third. He would have probably been on the medal stand had this gone a little bit longer. Wait, were you tied for third, Donnie? What were you?
Well, I was tied for second with Harry.
Tied for second. So you were on the medal stand. You would have, I think, gotten solo second.
I would have passed Harry. Sean, you should have been here to see it. He hit a wall like I've never seen somebody hit before.
I watched it. Are you kidding me? I watched it. I watched it on the live feed and listened on the app as it was going on. I don't know why I wasn't there.
You were invited. You were invited to be a guest of the hot dog eating contest as a guest of mine.
I made the mistake of telling my girlfriend that we had the invite, and she found out after the fact and was basically like what is wrong with you? Why are we not there right
now? Was she backing a certain horse? Was she very much like in the corner of one contender?
Brother, she was all callous all day long.
I knew that was going to be the answer.
He made a fan of her very quickly, and then disappointed her just as quickly on the back half.
He had a rowdy rooter contingent, and I think we felt like it actually worked against him, that he felt too much pressure. There were a bunch of women from the office cheering him on, and he said, "I didn't want to puke in front of all of them."
I think that's what you saw from a lot of guys. They were weighing the economics, you know, the economical choice of. Do I risk throwing up on camera and in front of all my coworkers, or do I max out here? It's understandable.
And T-Bird maxed out. All right, Sean, thank you very much. Appreciate it as always.
Bye now. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.